I was trying to be serious.
She goes, I'm going to be serious. I go, okay, I'm going to be Celine. Well, hi, everyone.
That was a great way to start.
I love it. That's our another cold open. There we go. I'm Celine Castrovilla.
I'm Pascal.
And this is Life in Jest, a show where we subscribe to Chaucer's sage words in the Canterbury Tales, many a true word hath been spoke in jest.
You're so fucking classy.
I mean, I'm a writer, so I find literally.
No, I like it. I'm saying it as a good thing. Well, maybe the fucking made it seem a little rude, but I meant it in a good way.
I looked for that specifically to say last time when we had a guest.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was like a cool, like.
It is.
Because our show does look a little like, when you look at the picture of us with the wine, it's like, what am I dealing with here? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, I really don't drink wine.
We don't drink wine anymore, but don't secret.
Oh, sorry.
We drink.
Pretend like you didn't hear
that.
No,
but we do drink, but we just don't drink wine anymore. If you're not
sometimes.
I really don't drink. Wow.
Crazy,
this is
right?
A revelation. I drink.
Yeah, I don't have anything against it.
If you see the promos, sure. You're going to see I'm still going to make references to wine.
It's not that I don't like wine. Like when we go to Boston, I'm going to drink, definitely.
Yeah, like, and I still drink, okay. Well, as I told everybody, I've been on the Zepbound. Now, what it did, it made me lose my taste for red wine completely. Like, I can't stand the taste. Like, it tastes like nothing. And no matter what I try, like, I try all different brands. I mean, I'm not going to buy the expensive wine. Like, don't look at me like that. It's not going to happen. You know, I'm a apothic is high class for me.
It's a pretty bottle.
Sometimes you're at one of these parties and people have classy stuff, you know, of course I try it, but I will say I haven't had anything really expensive since I've been on the Zepbound. It's been like pretty inexpensive, but it all tastes like garbage to me.
Yeah, you just have to find something else.
So white wine still works. So I drink white wine, but I don't drink it a lot because it has a lot of calories. So what I do is this is really good for anybody who wants to lose weight, okay? I used to buy vodka, like flavored vodka or Tito's vodka, whatever vodka. But then at the liquor store, they told me, I always have these little conversations at the cashiers. And this time, I don't know why, but I do.
I'm the opposite, but people always seem to talk to me.
I don't know. I can't explain it. I don't know I'm going to go do it.
Yeah.
But then I just like start this little conversation. I don't know why. I used to criticize my mother for doing stuff like that. And now I do it. But it was helpful in this one situation because I said I switched from wine to vodka because less calories. He goes, well, if you really want the least calories is tequila by far. So I was like, okay. Now, I had had some bad experiences with tequila. I had gotten margaritas. One margarita would be okay. And then two, it would be not. We used to go to this place called Poncho's right up the road from here. It was perfect because.
Thank God. They used to have dollar margaritas lunchtime. I used to go and get rocked. By 2 o'clock, I was fucked.
And when they give you a happy hour or a lunchtime drink, they were still the same power. They weren't watered down at all like a lot of people.
Dollar. And it always ended in shots. I didn't do shots because I don't like tequila shots, but.
Oh, I don't do shots at all.
That's how it would always end.
That's funny. But the place was great. The food was really good.
Yeah.
At the happy hour, you could get cheap food and cheap. I don't know about you, but I always got frozen margaritas. And they had all the different flavors.
Me too.
Yeah. And they were really good. And also, I lived down the block.
We could walk.
We could walk so we didn't have to drive. And we used to go there for Cinco de Mayo. One of my son's birthdays, Cinco de Mayo. It was amazing. Unfortunately, the pandemic, they had outside seating for a while, but I think they were like, we've had enough. We're going to just retire.
Where was the outside seating? In the parking lot?
Yes. They paved Paradise and put up a parking lot.
Interesting.
But I think they just kind of, the happy hours ended. And I happened to go to, I think it might have been the last happy hour. Because you know how everything sort of closed down in March? It did. I mean, I had a book launch on March 20th, and that didn't happen.
Yeah.
It was not a good day. And my book was all about being happy.
Oh, God.
My book was 10 Steps to Finding Happy.
Yeah, that was
the most miserable time.
Yeah.
We had a big signing lined up for March 20th, which is the International Day of Happiness, but it wasn't that year. No. So maybe we'll relaunch that in the future because that poor book never got a good, never really. It's a great book.
It was a bad time.
It's a great book because very actionable. Anyway. I will stand by that book. But Poncho's, my birthday is March 10th. And I was in there with somebody. I used to have Airbnb people stay in my house. And I had somebody, I always had people from other countries. I don't know why they came here, but they loved it. And I would always bring them to Poncho's. I hung out with these people. I had a fair amount of single women that came And they hung out with me and we became friends. It was interesting.
But the weirdest part is you live by the beach and very fairly close to Manhattan. And you said they didn't really take advantage of those things.
No, very rarely.
That's weird.
I know. I thought they were coming here to go to the beach and or Manhattan, but rarely would the people actually do that. They were content to hang out. But I do have a lovely home. It's
it is very nice here, but
I got a fair amount of artsy people, so they were looking to be inspired. And I write here, you know, and I
know, but you're in New York. There's so many places to be inspired.
Well, I put that in the description that this is a great place for creatives. And yeah. So I was attracting those kind of, no, but not everybody was a creative. Some people were just looking to get away from it all. I mean, I had this lovely woman from Germany, like I bonded with everybody. You know how you bond when you're in the right circumstance? You know what I mean?
No.
Well, I do. I'm still friends. Now, the one that was here was Allie. You met her in Scotland, in Scotland. Uh-huh. So we're still friends. And we were there and she came just when the pandemic was breaking. And we sat at the thing and happy hour was usually so fun. I mean, it wasn't like, it's just that people were happy because it was happy hour and they were getting the lovely frozen margaritas and the drinks. At this particular happy hour, everybody sat there like stones. Everybody was so freaking quiet because it's like we knew. Because the pandemic was getting closer and closer. It was like, oh, I heard there's one case in Uniondale. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Closer and closer. And we knew this could be our last happy hour. And indeed it was. It was so sad. It was so sad, the end of happy hour. The end of an era. The end of a real moments of my life were at Poncho's.
I know. And now it's a Chinese food place. No, it doesn't even look like a good one.
No. They're out of business, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, they are?
First, the building got sold to one of those crab places.
Oh, right.
But and usually those places are a great success. But this one looks so cheesy. They had like a fake Johnny Depp thing. So cheesy. They had all like the really cheesy decorations, you know? And it was so silly. And I don't know why, but you still would think that they would do well, like, because people like that seafood stuff. But in the next town, they have Ben's Crab, and people love this Ben's Crab.
And there's a lobster place down the street.
You know, I didn't think of that.
That's like a very popular lobster place.
You're right. There's that. And then there's Peter's Clam Bar also.
Yeah,
so
those are very big places around here.
But people still do love Ben's Crab in Oceanside, but it's like a lounge.
It's more like these places aren't like real party-ish.
No, they're not at all.
But they're very... But people come from fairly far to go to these places.
Absolutely. Jordan's and Pete are very popular.
I've never been to Jordan's. I lived here forever and I've never been there.
I've been there, but I do find it sick because I won't eat lobsters anymore. And it is a Jordan's lobster, so it's probably best I don't go there.
I think that's probably why I never went there.
It's so sad. I can't handle it.
And I went to Peter's once. I was like, I don't know why people come.
Well, I don't like it. There's two parts to Peter's. Okay. There's the part with all the fried food and all that. And I'm sure I don't really eat fried food and stuff. So there's a more expensive version of, I don't ever go out anymore. Like who can afford all this? You know, prices have just gone up for food, but we did go once, family thing, into the Peter's, the fancy dining room. And let me tell you, it was very good. So it's different. It's a different dining experience.
No, I think I just sat at the front.
Most people just go to the front stuff. A lot of people don't even know that other dining room is there.
I didn't?
Yeah. But it's a different experience. They have more the broiled, you know, it's more the other one is like.
Oh, like the places in Freeport. Like there used to be those really nice places.
Yes, yeah. Like that. Like you sit, you have the whole dining experience. The other one is more like you go. I think you go up and get it or something, don't you?
It was so long ago, I ate a burger.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
That is a very long time ago.
Yeah,
that's got to be 30 years ago. I haven't eaten meat in, I don't even know how long.
Oh, it's been very long.
Yeah, since my kids were little.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so I didn't put that together. But Poncho's became that, and that was short-lived. And then it got sold to this, I guess, a different people. I don't know if it's different people because other people were Asian as well. I don't know if they tried a different look. Like, let me try this instead. Like on Seinfeld.
Oh, I was just going to say that. At the Pakistani restaurant.
Complete disaster. But then they did the China Pavilion. Now, China Pavilion is gone now. And you could see like the price. I looked at the menu once online. Very expensive. And it did not look like it was going to be. If you're going to have a very expensive Chinese restaurant, you better have a lot of ambiance.
Also, there's the local Chinese places that everyone around here, this is a small town.
But the only way that you could succeed is if you had a really magnificent sit-down place that people would want to pay.
No.
You know, like that chain kind of looks interesting. B.F. Chang's, is it?
P.F. Chang's, yeah.
P.F. Well, that looks kind of interesting because it's got
I've never been there, strangely enough. Yeah.
I mean, it has like that thing.
Well, remember, there was also one in Oceanside, not P.F. Chang's, but there was a sit-down restaurant, like a Chinese restaurant.
Is that where
I feel like we went together.
Is that where Ben's Crab is now?
No, that, oh my God, I got so drunk there. I forget what restaurant it was at the time, but I got stupid wasted.
Wow. Wow. Well, where was the Chinese? I have no idea. These people don't care anymore.
It was, I know it was further in.
Hmm.
I'm pretty sure we went there together.
I went with you to a sit-down Chinese restaurant in Oceanside.
I don't think it's there anymore.
I don't remember it ever being there.
Yeah, it was like a little bit of a fancy Chinese restaurant. Yeah, with cloth napkins and shit.
Cloth napkins in Oceanside?
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Yeah. Well, that place is now gone. I mean, you had to see it coming. It's just a China Pavilion. There was no pizzazz at all.
No.
There was no reason to go there. We have really good takeout Chinese, so you got to do better. You know?
Right. There's one on this side of town. There's one on the other side of town. That's where people go.
But anyway, all that to say that there's nothing currently there. I want to open a little bookstore there.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, for 5 minutes until I have to pay the bills.
Yeah, that's true.
I want to open a coffee shop, you know, a cafe where you could also look at books and sit down, you know. But a lot of people have said to me, you're going to go broke because people are going to sit there, read their books, and there's not going to be tables for anybody new.
Yeah, I worked in Barnes & Noble. That's how it goes. People would lay on the floor. They'd take up all the chairs.
It's not going to happen.
They would read all day and not buy.
We wonder why Barnes & Noble is in trouble.
I mean, there were regulars that always came in and bought books, but most of the people would just come read and hang out.
And also, it would have to be that I have enough money that I don't actually run it. I can hire people because I'm not going to be doing that. I'm a writer. Anyway, all that to say, no.
Oh my God. How long? See? Do you see what I mean?
Okay. Did we talk a lot? Oh, not that long.
Not that long, but...
Yeah, we were worried that we didn't have enough because we really kind of just pulled this together quickly because, I don't know, just a lot has been happening in our lives and we didn't really... I mean, I guess...
Yeah, well, we blah, blah a lot, so... We do.
Okay, so we're going to talk about... Because I asked Pascal, what else is something iconic? Like, we did that Grease episode that time and everybody really enjoyed it and we enjoyed it. So we're like, what else is there iconic? And then you said, rightly, The Wizard of Oz.
Because I was trying to think of something that we both love.
Yeah.
And that was one of the
things I think it's a pretty universal thing. A lot of people love The Wizard of Oz.
My God, I love The Wizard of Oz. You know, I have that big, I bought it with you, that black and white of Dorothy and the gang.
Yes.
We bought it at some, it was some like a trade show or something.
Yeah.
I think it was like a Nassau Coliseum, maybe. It was some.
Yeah, something weird.
Like a long time ago. God, I'm making myself sound like 1,000 years old.
You know what? Ever since the pandemic, I feel like life got a lot longer time ago. I feel like now we're in a new era of life. Yeah. Like we've all been through hell kind of.
Yeah, but I haven't kept much in all my moves, but that is definitely something that I always have.
There you go. That's how you really know. When you love something, when you move, you know, and you're really weighing out, what am I going to take? That's when you know.
Well, it's a scene. I'm pretty sure it's when they're in the wizard's whatever.
The wizard's whatever?
You know, his place, whatever that is. So it's the four of them, and they've all kind of got like this scared or nervous look on their face. They're all looking off, and it's black and white. I love that.
What makes you love it?
At the looks on their faces, maybe, because it's maybe not scared, but like nervous. Like when you go to a place that you don't know and you're a little apprehensive, like you're not sure what's going to happen. Yeah. And they're kind of looking off. They're not facing you. They're all facing to the side. It's just a really nice black and white drawing. I don't know.
Well, it's funny that we both like The Wizard of Oz because when you think of The Wizard of Oz, I'm like, why do I like The Wizard of Oz? I know why now because I've given a lot of thought to it, but I don't usually like fantasy stuff.
Yeah, that is unusual. You know, for you.
And but it does pass the test. What I like is where I know where I am in the world. So I, because Dorothy starts off in a place, by the way, he never had been to Kansas. He just like, I guess he figured, well, the plane, what could it be?
I mean, it's known for tornadoes, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that he chose Kansas. I have a friend from Kansas. He goes, dear, Kansas jokes whenever she hears Wizard of Oz stuff, you know. But, yeah, he really did mark a whole state with something. You know what I mean? Yes. It's kind of funny, right?
Listen, they should be happy. What else do they have going on? Sorry, anybody from Kansas. Not, I'm
they
sorry.
They have a lot. They actually do have a lot of.
They have the Chiefs, right? Is that Kansas?
No. Kansas City is not in Kansas. It's not.
Oh, it's not?
No. I don't know the name of the state, but it's not Kansas.
I made it 54 years without knowing that.
I know this because Richard Christie said it.
Did I?
Kansas City Chiefs are not in Kansas. I don't know where they are, but it's definitely not Kansas.
I just assumed.
No. No, it's, I know, but I learned this from Richard. Well, you know what they do have? They have Richard Christie's from Kansas.
That's
He's a guy from Howard Stern, but we, you know, so we, they have him. And we did not learn good things about Kansas from him because he grew up on a farm and basically complete wild man.
Yeah,
wild
like drunk. Roadkill, all sorts
they
of
checked,
disgusting
they,
things.
How they eat roadkill is they know it's safe if they were driving away, and when they come back, there's something there that wasn't there before. They know it's fresh. Yeah. Yeah. So, and their father calls up and gives tips, like hunting tips. It's very sad, actually. Really sad. Really sad stories.
They're so interesting, though.
The mother, they used to cook raccoon, but apparently not everyone there likes it. She made raccoon
chili, wasn't it?
Something. She made something. What is it when you put on the buns? The Swappy Joe's, but she made it with raccoon meat.
Ew.
And she brought it to like some party, and like they were like, oh, this is really good. What is it? Raccoon. They got so angry with
her. Ew.
Well, like, so it shows you that although Richard's parents, they eat the real kill, not everybody does that, in other words. Like it's,
yeah.
So we're really getting the wrong impression from, just like we get the wrong impression of Kansas from Wizard of Oz, we also get it.
Yeah,
from
that's a pretty
Richard.
Gross potluck.
Oh my God. Oh, and they used to walk around selling raccoon meat. Like they would hunt them and sell them, but you had to leave. This is so disgusting. But you had to leave the paws and stuff on because a lot of people tried to sell cats.
Oh my God,
that's what Robin did. But Robin was like, oh, when she heard that,
I could think of someone eating my.
Oh my
babies.
God, it's awful. But I will. There's a really funny thing about Richard's parents that's a current thing. This is so weird. That
I know
Richard has made friends with a lot of people in Hollywood. And he's friends with the guy that made the movie, the new Superman movie. And so, and the guy's a super fan of Howard Stern. So he asked Richard if Richard's parents would mind making tapes of themselves talking. So Superman's parents, the people that play them, would use the Kents, but the actors would learn those accents and use them. So both of the Kents listened to tapes over and over of Richard's father and mother talking, and their accents are Richard's parents' accents in the new movie, and which is kind of cool.
It is cool.
So now you know something that you don't know unless you listen to Howard.
True.
See, there we go. Okay. So all that to say, like I said, what's his name had never been there. What's his name? Baum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I have stuff about him, but I'm going to first read, because I put all this stuff up in my little note thing.
Yeah, I'm trying not to look at it because I know you don't like me looking at it.
Like, I do like to
look. I'm going to focus over
here. Dora, these ruby slippers in the book were actually, you know, right?
I feel like they weren't ruby slippers, right?
They were something else.
I don't remember.
Oh, they were silver.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were silver. I couldn't understand why it was changed, but the reason why is the MGM studio executives were so excited about their new film technology, Technicolor.
Yeah.
This was like one of the first, if not the first, the first Technicolor movie? So they changed the shoes to bright red. Because it's actually an important plot point that there's
I was going to say,
yeah. So it's interesting. And I didn't know this. Dorothy's iconic blue and white gingham?
Yeah.
Gingham, gingham, is actually light blue and pink, but it comes out white. I guess the Technicolor is not as good as I say. Judy Garland was only 16 at the time, and she claimed that the studio executives gave her stimulants and sleeping pills so she could keep up with the show business's fast-paced environment. Can you imagine?
Yeah, well, that's why she ended up the way she did.
She got addicted from that.
Yeah. Her whole childhood. Oh, my God. She is the saddest story.
That's awful.
And Dorothy was supposed to be young.
Well, if she's 16, how old is
Dorothy? The actual Dorothy, I feel like maybe 13. Like, she was definitely supposed to be younger than Judy.
Well, that's another one of these things. They made her wear a really, really tight corset.
Yeah.
Why would that make you look younger if you're wearing a tight corset?
I don't know. But they also always wanted Judy Garland to lose weight.
Right. She struggled with her weight and disordered eating throughout her life, and the MGM executives reportedly called her a fat little pig with pigtails.
Yeah.
How do you do that to your star?
Because they could. They treated a lot of those people like that.
They didn't even like her. Like, why did they pick her?
She could sing.
Is that why? I guess.
She was a great singer.
She was put on a strict diet of chicken soup, black coffee, cigarettes, and diet pills. Well, that's what every 16-year-old should have. A diet of cigarettes. Do cigarettes not make you eat?
Yeah. Cigarettes and coffee. Yeah.
Coffee, I thought, was an appetite stimulant.
No.
I thought it was.
I don't know if it's supposed to be, but I used to smoke cigarettes and drink coffee. It was easy to diet like that.
Wow. Okay. I was told the opposite. I've never actually tried it, but people have often encouraged me to quit coffee when I want to lose weight, but I never would because I love. So I don't know because I've never.
Even now, I drink tea or coffee in the morning. I don't eat until probably 1 o'clock.
Wow.
Probably like 1:30, I think.
Interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't quit the coffee, so I didn't know.
It makes me full. I don't know.
What kind of diet pills did they give her? I'm sure those were not. I mean,
I mean, this is way back.
It must have been really bad diet, like really bad for you diet pills.
Of course.
Oh my God.
I mean, you know, they used to have cocaine in Coca-Cola.
Yes,
it wasn't exactly, you know.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
I would have taken those pills.
I got to tell you that.
I would have gobbled those pills like Tic Tac.
Oh, so you're saying she was taking like speed ones?
Yeah, that's what they used to give people.
Someone suggested I take them for burning fat or something, and I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I felt awful, and I couldn't sleep. And thank God I didn't sleep the particular night I took them, because I heard this revving sound outside, right? Which I couldn't sleep, so I heard it. And I don't think it would have woken me up, but I went outside. It was this horrible racing engine sound. So next door, kid had come home drunk and fell asleep with his foot on the gas of the car. And he would have died because that happened to somebody else. That same thing happened and the car blew up.
Yeah.
So I pounded on the thing and woke him up.
I forgot about that.
And I'm like, are you all right? He's like, what happened? I'm like, I don't know. You fell asleep with your foot on the gas and nobody heard you. And he looks at the house and goes, I guess not.
Listen, it can
And then
happen.
He told his mother, because I didn't want it. I felt like, I didn't want to upset her. Or I just didn't want her to be upset with him, I guess. I don't know. And actually, he didn't remember either. I saw him like a week or two later. I'm like, hey, how are you? I didn't want to say his name, you know. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you don't remember this? He goes, no. And then he goes, hey, mom, get a load of this shit. And then she's like, thank you, Celeste.
Is that the family? That's the family that used to live there, right?
Yes. They don't live. Yes. Yes.
I have fallen asleep. Me and my ex-husband, our kids must have been really little. And I guess we were just tired. And we went somewhere, which was very rare, you know, with the kids. And we went to the Taco Bell drive-thru, the one in Oceanside. We both fell asleep in that drive-thru line.
While you were online for food?
Both of us. Not because we were drunk.
Oh, my God.
Because we were exhausted.
That's unbelievable. Well, what happened? Someone was talking to you, right?
Okay, the guy behind us?
Yeah.
He got in front of us. Then he got out and woke us up.
Oh, smart. That's hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at least he woke you up.
He did. I mean, you know, when you're new parents, you're just...
I can understand.
I don't even know where we went.
Where were your children? You sit with the grandparents or something?
They must have been. But it was very rare that we went anywhere. So it must have been
Big day to Taco Bell.
I know. We must have been out for something. Because, you know, you don't go out when your kids are little, really. Right. So it must have been some kind of occasion or something. Yeah.
You really know how to...
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Party. Taco Bell. Cardboard food. Yum.
I think it was late. Like, you don't really have many options. Especially in those days, there wasn't as much.
Right. There were very few drive-thrus. Well, you didn't need a drive-thru because you didn't have the kids, but there were very few drive-thrus then. New parents have it really good now. That
old as hell.
But you know, new parents have it a lot better now. There's so many more places to drive-thru so you don't have to disturb the baby. And even they have the chairs where you can take the baby, leave the basin, and carry the whole chair in.
Oh, yeah.
Our kids were little.
Right.
So you had to, like, move the kid. Oh, it was awful.
Yeah, and now there's so many delivery services.
That's true.
Like when my son and his wife had the baby, we would just order food.
Right.
You know, like I'm not big on ordering food, but...
Yeah. No, it's definitely.
You know.
Well, back then, I would say Chinese was always available.
Yeah.
And besides, I liked it, and it was always...
That was the easiest, yeah.
And it was also, like, the calories, like, I don't know. I always got broccoli with garlic sauce, and I told no cornstarch. I learned about it in Weight Watchers, how to eat it less.
Yeah.
And so my kids actually thought that when it was dinner time, the Chinese man brings dinner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
My son used to run to the door and go, the Chinese guy is here.
Okay. So Mark Wish Hamilton, yeah. the wicked witch of the West, got second degree burns on her face and third degree burns on her hands after a stunt went wrong. And the green makeup used on her was toxic. So don't not use the stuff. They put her on a strict liquid diet. Like, yeah. What? Like, maybe don't use toxic makeup.
I don't know if this is going to come up, but. The Tin Man.
Yeah.
There were a lot of them that makeup they used made them.
Well, the Tin Man, Buddy Epson, had to not be the Tin Man anymore because he was the first guy and he was hospitalized.
Yeah.
And he said that he had trouble breathing for the rest of his life from that damn, he called it that damn movie.
Yeah.
Well, but wait a minute. This is weird. They treated the actors poorly in terms of toxic shit, but they were nice to the horses. They didn't want to paint the horses. You know what they used to dye the horses?
No.
Jello.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Well, that's like...
I mean, it's weird,
it's
but...
Nice it's that they were nice to animals, but it's bizarre because they didn't seem to care about anybody else's lives.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Strangely humane.
Yeah, it is.
Right? I don't know why. Okay, and then somebody named Betty Danko played the witch's stunt double, and she landed literally in the hospital after a pipe in her character's broomstick exploded.
Oh, my.
Why is a pipe in the broomstick?
I didn't know that one.
Yeah. And here's Buddy. Buddy Epson was hospitalized for 9 days, and then he was forced to be replaced by Jack Haley. Now, this is weird. Did you know about the Cowardly Lion costume?
Yeah.
You read it.
But I did know that.
Oh, I mean, I didn't know this. It was made of real lion skin. And
I didn't know real lion skin, but I know that it was very heavy.
Real lions. So that's you're wearing a dead lion. That is sad. That was unneeded.
Of course. I mean, is animal skin ever needed besides cavemen?
It's so sad.
Or besides by, indigenous people? Otherwise,
really bad for the actor.
That?
It weighed 90 pounds. Yes. Can you imagine walking around with that on? And it made Bert Lawrence so warm on the set that he had to take it off completely after each shot.
Yeah.
So it's a waste of their time, too. Oh, for God's sake. That makes me sad.
Yeah, things did not go well on this set.
No. Ray Bolger, who played the Scarecrow, had burlap scars around his mouth and chin from the facial prosthetics he wore.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, think about his face in the movie.
Yeah. He has pressed against him.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. These poor people. One day, an actor playing one of the Wicked Witch's soldiers accidentally jumped on the dog who played Toto. They had to get a canine double because the dog, whose name was Terry, sprained her foot. Look at the dog didn't die. If the man jumps on a little dog like that.
Wasn't that dog buried in that cemetery that we went to?
We went to this cemetery near, actually.
Like the Hollywood cemetery.
It was a
or
very
something.
Famous Hollywood cemetery. Actually, not far from where I lived in LA when I lived there for a year with Casey. And you came in to visit, and we went to the cemetery and we saw Judy Garland.
Yeah.
We saw where she was. She was like in a little mausoleum. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Mausoleum thing. And then on the other side, they had the dog.
Yeah.
Which was funny. They had a lot of famous people there. But it is funny that the dog was there.
I know. It's terrible to say, but that was an awesome cemetery.
Yeah.
That's where Chris Cornell is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel about that.
And they had that poor girl that got killed.
The Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, the Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of really famous people there. I forget the name of it. Oh, but you know what? They have those peacocks. I'm sure I think we spoke about this before. They have roaming peacocks. And when we were going there, we were passing a construction site, which happens to be on the other side of the cemetery. We saw these peacocks. We're like, wait,
many.
But they like renegade peacocks. It's like they escaped, right? But we didn't know they came from the cemetery. We were just like, where are these random peacocks come from? We were kind of worried about them.
Like, I know. We stopped.
We were like, well, I think they look okay. They look like they have their own little colony there. And then when we went to the cemetery, we discovered that.
Yeah.
They were
all over.
I'm sorry, but I would rather live in the cemetery with the foliage than with cement and dirt. That was odd.
They're big birds. Birds are weird.
Like, we want to get the hell out of this place.
I watched some show. I forget what the show is, but the guy's like, they're dirty flying dinosaurs.
Wow.
That's cool. I'm like, you know what? I am not a big bird fan. I feel like they're one step away from killing us all. I don't know why.
No.
Any big bird. Big bird.
No.
Freak me out.
That's, they're not that big.
It's a phobia. It's not rational.
The birds is pretty fucking crazy. Yeah. I will not. Yeah. That's a scary movie.
Yeah. I mean, like, what's to stop them from pecking us to death? Like, they win.
I don't know. It happened. Why did they do that in the birds? Was there a reason?
I don't remember. I haven't seen that movie in a while.
I don't think I watched the whole thing. I started watching. I'm like, oh my God. And I don't that happens to me with a fair amount of movies.
Too, like Alfred Hitchcock movies. Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
I was in his original bungalow.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah. I had a meeting. It's now the De Laurentiis. It was Dino De Laurentiis. He passed away, but they still have it. But it was Alfred Hitchcock's first, and they have a plaque to him. It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
It is very cool to go to those places.
It is. I went to Adam Sandler's.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I met him very briefly. Yeah, we walked past each other. He did the fist bump, and he goes, fisty, fisty.
I like that.
And I was like, he's so weird. But yeah, I enjoyed it.
He's interesting. I don't know. I've never really cared for his movies, but he's an interesting person.
I do. I
know, man. I'm not going to watch that new Happy Gilmore crap.
I sure am.
It looks like crap.
For some reason, his movies make me laugh.
All right.
They're so stupid.
He's going back to golfing to pay for his kids' tuition at dance school.
Yeah, Eminem's in it.
I don't know. What, really? Does he sing?
I don't think so.
Eminem's not going to sing? This is weird.
He might. I don't think so, though.
All right. Well, that might be interesting. I'd like to see the scene with Eminem. I mean, is he a large part in this movie?
No, I think it's a short thing.
Well, I don't know. I get annoyed with Adam Sandler. I think I did like one thing. Okay, The Wedding Singer, I liked a scene where, of course, he falls in love with Drew Barrymore, right? But he has this other girlfriend, and he goes, "You're wearing my Van Halen shirt. Take it off before you jinx it and the band breaks up." That was funny. That's about it.
Well, I like way sillier things than you do.
Yeah, I really don't like silly. I don't like him, and I don't like Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell, no.
I sometimes like, I'm on the fence with Will Ferrell.
No. I'm a no.
Like, he's the only part of The Office that I didn't like.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm
like,
not.
Those are episodes that I just skip.
And you really love them.
I love The Office.
You are
in a very disturbing way.
Yeah.
Those are the episodes that I just have no interest in.
It's just yuck. I don't know. Yeah. Sorry.
It just kind of sucked.
I'm not going to lie. Okay. So the horses were, it was Jell-O powder. They rubbed, and that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Kind. Judy Garland, who is now considered one of the most famous entertainers of the 20th century, reportedly earned $9,600 for The Wizard of Oz. That would be $218,000 today. Now, that is not a lot of money to star in a movie.
No.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
They screwed everybody.
Make
left.
That
well,
kind of money.
Margaret Hamilton made a lot more money.
That
I mean,
did.
Well, oh no. Wait a minute. Hold on.
The witch?
No, she did make more. Yes. She made $21,000, which would be $476,000. She made a little more than double of what Dorothy made.
Well,
she was more famous at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still not a lot of money.
It's not a lot of money.
No.
Well, the movie didn't do well.
It didn't?
No.
So when did it get popular? Do you know?
I don't know, but it's one of those movies that you know, got popular later.
Hmm.
At least I'm pretty sure I read that. Maybe I'm wrong, but
you might be right.
Sure, I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Interesting. Well, the Munchkin people were like living off that, like being portrayed. They were going around saying, I was a Munchkin for a long time.
I mean, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but if the movie wasn't popular, they couldn't have done that until the movie was popular. You know what I mean?
I guess.
Well, Terry, which is kind of funny, the dog paid Toto was Terry. I don't know if Terry is funny. I don't know why. I have a friend named Terry, was reportedly paid $125 a week. That would be $2,800 a week for inflation. That's pretty good. Depends how
for
long.
For a dog, that's pretty good.
But depends how long, how many weeks. However, Margaret Pellegrini, who played a munchkin in the movie, said she'd only gotten paid $50 a week. So the dog made massive amounts more than the munchkins.
Well, the munchkins were only in one part of the movie. Like, they weren't featured in a lot of the movie, and there were a lot of them. I mean, most of them were extras. Like, they were just townspeople.
I guess that's what it is.
There were very few that you really, that there were very few that were, you know.
Yeah, you're right. But it just does seem wrong when you say it. But yeah, And the dog, I mean, I don't know now, like, it's expensive to put, there's a lot of fees associated with putting animals in things. That's why people don't like to put them in movies unless it's really important. You have to, there's extra insurance involved to have these animals, and you have to have like a vet. I don't, probably not at the time with this, but the, you needed a veterinarian. You needed all kinds of crap. But yeah. So she got 1,000, actually, adjusted for inflation, 1,100 a week actually is not bad if you're going to be an extra.
Not bad for extra work.
No. Extras don't get that kind of money.
I mean, it depends on who she played. Do you know who she was?
No, but I would say, you're right, none of them really had a very big part.
No, well, there were the Lollipop guys.
Yes, I was going to say, it's not Lollipop League because I got in trouble.
No, it's Lollipop Guild, right? And there was the mayor.
Yeah.
Like, there were a couple that
didn't do like that.
No, they didn't do that much, but they had lines. Yeah. They had, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you remember them.
You do.
You know.
But not if it's League or Guild. Because of an incident where an actor got stuck in a toilet for 45 minutes, MGM hired attendants to help the Munchkin actors use the restrooms.
Oh, no.
He got stuck in a toilet.
Oh, okay. I thought that was funny until I found out it was a little person. That's
sad. That's very sad. I mean, I can't believe that.
I never thought of that. Like,
what the hell? That's awful.
That is awful.
This is upsetting. The male Munchkin actors would often harass Judy on set. Sid Luft. Who's Sid Luft? Her agent?
My God. No. She married Sid Luft. Oh. Do you remember the Judy Garland tapes? When she makes these tapes because someone's writing her book. And she goes on about that guy. Sid Luft.
I know. I remember hearing the name, but I didn't know who he was.
Oh, yeah.
He alleged that some of the actors.
Yeah, because one of her daughters is, what is her name? Something Luft. Nora? No.
Lorna Luft.
Lorna. Yes.
Yeah, I knew that.
I forgot. Yeah.
I don't know how I knew that. Yeah. That was pretty good.
That was good. Yeah.
She said, and then Sid alleged that some of the actors sexually assaulted her by putting their hands up her dress. Oh, my God. That's awful.
It's gross.
And Luft also revealed, this guy's big on revealing things. We got to check out this Luft guy. Sid Luft also revealed that some of the Munchkin actors were arrested in between and needed to be bailed out so they could appear on set. The studio hired a lieutenant to watch over them. What are they, like a bunch of renegades? Where did they find these people?
I don't know. They didn't know how to act.
That's crazy. What are they going around? Like, what are they doing?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. All right, this is the most upsetting thing of all. Did you know about this? Did you know about the snow and the poppy scene?
No. What about it?
You know what it's made of?
No.
It's this.
Oh, God. Like they weren't, like it wasn't bad enough. Oh, my God. They got covered with it. Really?
Oh,
that's
really
crazy.
Bad.
Oh, my
they
God.
Freeze it all in.
Poppies.
Oh, my God. The poppies were not the dangerous part.
That's terrible.
I wonder about the poppies, too, because poppies are heroin. You think it's bad with poppies as well?
No.
Poppies weren't bad. Asbestos is bad.
Wow, that's messed up.
That's really unbelievable. The Tin Man's costume was made of leather-covered buckram. What is buckram?
I don't know.
Well, it's leather-covered, whatever. And the oil used to grease his joints was made from chocolate syrup.
Well, that's not sense.
That's a good one. That's good. Now, here's L. Frank Baum was a former chicken rancher, traveling salesman, and theater manager. So he basically was the wizard.
Oh, the wizard. Yeah. I mean, the wizard is a traveling salesman. Yeah.
And he had already published two successful children's books when he started The Wonderful Wizard of Oz in 1898. That's a long time ago. He finished the book in October 1899, and he must have been proud of his work because he framed the pencil stub and hung it on the wall of his study. On the attached paper, he scrawled, "With this pencil, I wrote the manuscript, The Emerald City." He used to call it The Emerald City.
Did he party like it's 1899?
Yes, he did.
That was so corny. I apologize.
But I think it's interesting. It is interesting that he called it the Emerald City, but it's also more interesting that he saved the pencil. For a long time, I saved the computer that I wrote my first manuscripts on. I might still have it somewhere. I don't know. Because the flood happened. All that. I don't know. But I used to save stuff. I don't know if I was thinking it would be valuable to anybody else, but for me, it held sentimental value. You know? So I do have things. I used to print out stuff. After I wrote it, I would revise. And I would draw, you know, scribble all over them. But I don't do that anymore. I don't print anything.
No.
So there goes that.
My cats are on the move.
Oh, so cute.
You keep talking. I'm going to look at my cats.
Watching a video of her cats. Okay. Where are they going?
I don't know. There's motion detected. I got one of those cameras, guys, that you can watch your cats with. Because we're going away and I'm leaving my cats alone. I mean, it's only a few days. Look, they left the bedroom. That's what it's telling me. So I got the camera.
All this time? Is the first time they moved today?
No. I don't know where Baxter is, but Kit Kat has been in and out. Usually Baxter is on the bed, but sometimes he likes the couch. So he has a special blanket on the couch.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Can you tell how I'm so into my
dog? I'm into my dog. I mean,
I take a lot of, I've been taking selfies with them. I'm getting weird and crazy cat lady. I do that with the baby too. I get right nervous.
Well, that's all right. And people do that all the time. That's not weird.
We take a lot of selfies.
Yeah, people love that. We need it for relief.
Well, now she's kind of getting it and she's kind of smiling like she understands, I guess, the camera now.
Oh, how cute. That's so cute. So 3 years after The Wonderful Wizard of Oz came out, he recalled how he came up with the name Oz. This is interesting. He was looking at the filing cabinet in his study, and there were three drawers marked A to G, H to N, and O to Z. And so Oz was born.
Oh, that's great.
That is a great story. However, it's a surprisingly controversial topic. There are some discrepancies in his tale, not to mention several competing theories. I don't know. I don't know what he said, but I do like that. And it does make sense.
I like that.
I like that a lot. So I want that to be it. Okay. So talking about Wizard of Oz, for me, it wasn't like I would watch it even. Like, I watched it with my kids, obviously. And I never was one of those people who's like, I must watch it when it's on. Or I don't think I had the DVD or whatever you call it of those things. So, and honestly, I was very scared of those monkeys. That was scary. Very scary.
The flying monkey. Yeah.
And it only occurred to me when I started writing novels, every novel would have a reference to the Wizard of Oz in it. Like what's the name of it? Saved by the Music. I've rewritten it. And it's called Life Jackets now. It's going to be coming soon. Look for it. New writing by an old writer. I mean, it's a totally revamped book. No, that's overselling it. It's changed. In any case.
Then I'll probably read it because I liked it.
Oh, yeah,
It's interesting to see the changes.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Well, I've become a better writer, you know. So, I know some things had to be changed, but some things I'm a better writer. But
how long ago did you write that?
Kids were kind of young. I don't know. But it was long enough ago. I mean, that publisher went out of business. That's why I have the rights back, because the publisher went out of business. The people liked the book, but when the publisher goes, at the time, it was a different time. Not that it's never easy when you have a book where the publisher goes out of business, but there were very few options. And for some, it's ridiculous, but once a book's been published, other publishers don't really want to publish it, but especially for young adult novels, I think that's very odd because there's always new young adults, right? I don't understand that. But so we'll see. I'm going to have a new adventure with it. But in any case, I have a wish that she could click her sneakers 3 times and go home. And then I got more elaborate in The Girl Next Door. I wrote, there was a whole thing about I guess I made it so something on was gold and something was green. And she had this whole vision of being like Dorothy and walking through all the hall. It's all about how it's called The Girl Next Door. She lives next door to a boy and they're best friends and he gets cancer. And so it's all about going back and forth next door. Central Park's very big in it. They live on Central Park and Central Park West. And in any case, I got really elaborate with it. I'm like, wow, I really like The Wizard of Oz. And then, so I started thinking about The Wizard of Oz. What's The Wizard of Oz? Like, The Wizard of Oz has a lot of what they call life lessons, this and that. But for me, and I thought this was everybody, and you can tell me if it's you, it's the idea of longing for home. Do you find that does that?
No.
Really? I wonder, this is something I'd like to hear from the audience. What makes them, if they love The Wizard of Oz or if they're affected by it, what is the thing that affects them? For me, I feel like we're all looking for home. Now, home could be a lot of things. Home could be, you know, with a partner, you know. It doesn't have to be literally returning to your home. It could be metaphorical. But for me, I guess because my house, I really had kind of a rocky childhood. I guess I really was always looking for home. But it was all subconscious, right? And so then one day, I wrote a novel, which I do consider to be my masterpiece, called Evolution. And there was an editor that really wanted it. My agent at the time, I had an agent. I do have an agent now, but it was a different agent. She showed it to this pretty prestigious editor. And the editor was like, oh my God, I want it. Like, I'm like, okay. But then when they showed it to the actual publisher that owned the whole thing, they were like, no. it was too upsetting, I guess. But I think a lot more upsetting things have been published now.
Yeah, things have changed.
Yeah. So, but a lot happens in there. It really, it's confrontational to your emotions. It's very, it's a lot of the truth is in there, and some people just can't handle the truth. But I do think now it would be more acceptable. So I remember I was really upset, and you were like, just write them another book. I'm like, oh, just write them another book. No problem, right? You know, because the publisher was willing to take it if I revise it substantially to change it to what I called dirty dancing. I was like, this is like benign. It's like nobody puts baby in the corner. Like, that's not what I wrote. It's dual first person. And they wanted me, it's dual first person. If I was going to take out one, it would be the girl, because it's the guy, it's called Evolution. The guy's name is Darwin. So you can get an idea of who's more important in that book, right? The girl kind of could have been anybody. Like, you know, don't get me wrong, I care about the character. She's also very honest, but it's his story. They wanted me to cut him out and make it all about her and make him like a raving lunatic every so often. Like I'm not going to do that. He's not a raving lunatic. That's the problem. Everybody wants somebody to be the boogeyman, you know, like, you know, but what if you're not a raving lunatic and bad things have happened to you? And what does our society make people? You know, I'm not going to just make him, it's the easy way out. It's wrong. It would be wrong to him. He spoke to me before I wrote it. That character spoke to me, and he's not going to be shortchanged, you know? And so I went, now a couple of weeks earlier, a voice had said to me, buy the book, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. I've heard voices in the past various times, and I do what the voice says. So I bought the book, and it was so funny because it was a collector edition. I bought it at Barnes & Noble. It was a hardcover, and it came with a little necklace. And guess what was on the necklace? Ruby slippers. But they're not even ruby. But they put it on the book. It was so funny. So I just kept the thing attached, and I tried to read it. It's one of the worst written books I've ever read. And it was so stilted. It was like, no, I can't read this book. So I stuck it in my living room. I had a little wicker end table thing, and I just stuck it underneath, and there it sat. And then you said, write them another book. And my boxing coach, who he's just like this amazing guy, but he talked about having had a hard life also. He used to talk to me while we were boxing, and he used to say, oh, I had a really bad childhood. I'm like, well, like, he wanted me to write about him. I'm like, yeah, well, no offense, but boo-hoo, we, you know, I need details. You know, like, we all have, you know, we've all had our, we've been there. And then he looks at me, we'll never forget it, because I was taking boxing. I was punching. And he looks at me, he goes, my dad used to come home and shove a gun down my mom's mouth, on her throat every night. And I'm like, that's specific.
Well, he said, bad childhood.
Yeah. And that really was like, wow, you know. And then one day, I'll never forget, I was leaving, and he goes, I know you're going to write my story. I just know it, right? And I normally would be so annoyed by that. That recently happened to me again. Like, people are always telling me, will you write my story? I'm like, no. You know, what do I look like? Your scribe, you know? But with him, we had this different connection. It was a kismet thing. And so I came home, and a voice said, pick up the book, The Wizard of Oz. And so I did. And it opened randomly to the part where they come back with the broom. You know, the wizard sends them off to get the broom, and he thinks it's a suicide mission. He doesn't think they're ever going to come back. So they come back, and the guy at the gate says, you got back from the Wicked Witch? And they said, do you not see us? And he's like, the witch let you go? And then they said, she could not help it, for she is melted. So I wrote, she is melted. And then I wrote, she is melted. And then I wrote, melt. And I knew that was the title of my new book. And with that, I knew basically the whole story. I knew it was not going to be a retelling. It was going to be framed around The Wizard of Oz, like the idea of the search for home. Because what if home is the worst place to be? Like this kid's house, you know? And it starts off when it's about him as a teenager and the abuse that he's witnessing. And getting, too. It flashes back to when the children are getting really abused, but it's really about a confrontation because this boy falls in love. And, of course, the girl's name is Dorothy, but her name is not Dorothy from Wizard of Oz. She's named after Dorothy Parker. And she gets very annoyed when people assume that she's Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. So I'm going to share, well, this is the book. When we do the video, you guys can see. And the cover is a picture. I didn't know this, but there was an amusement park after The Wizard of Oz that closed down. And so you could still, I guess, go there. It's like deserted. So they have this yellow brick road. It's so eerie. And so it's like this eerie picture of the Wizard of Oz, and saw the picture on somebody's blog or something.
I found the picture.
You found the picture?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And I didn't remember that. I'm sorry.
No.
I
remember.
Thank you. That was a really, so I found the person that tracked them down and paid them to get permission for the picture. And I really loved that picture. So what I did was I self-published it because I did have another publisher that was about to put it out. The one that published Saved by the Music and The Girl Next Door. Then they went out of business. They were about to do Melt. And then they were going to do Evolution. And it was, boom, it was closed in such a way that was so vicious. I just got an email saying, well, we're ceasing. I didn't get a personal email. I already had a contract for Melt, right? I did not even get a personal email. Like, it was so rude.
That sucks.
So dismissive. And so I just, at that point, decided to do it. And I did. Look, I sold a lot. I sold thousands and thousands of copies of Melt. And it won like 6 awards. But man, it was a lot of work to self-publish. I mean, indie publish, whatever you call it. Like, it is a hardcore job, you know. But things have changed. Things have gotten, they're never easy, but probably I'm going to foray into it again.
A lot more people are self-published.
It's sort of accepted now.
Yeah.
It was like semi-accepted when I did it.
Oh, no. Now it's.
Yeah.
Because that's what I do for a living.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. So, yeah. So all that to say that I did write the book and it did well. And it's all about the search for home, basically, and which was all came from The Wizard of Oz. So it's very interesting how I, again, am not a fantasy person, and I didn't really think much. I'm not against the movie. I'm amused by the movie. If it's on, I'll look at it, but it wasn't like I was like seeking it. Like, you bought that picture. You have, it means a lot.
I make sure I watch it at least maybe once a year, or maybe once every 2 years.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
So what is the
thing watched that- it. I took my daughter when it was re-released in the 90s to the movie theater. Yeah. Because I was like, I've never seen it in a theater. And I'm like,
that is cool.
This is something we've experienced.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
I remember the movie theater that we went to. Yeah. We went to
remember.
The Green Acres. Remember they had the small movie theater in Green Acres?
Oh, yes.
On the Valley Stream.
We saw a sign. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's where we saw it.
Interesting. I don't remember that even happening.
I don't know what year it was, but my daughter was little.
Well, your daughter and my son are the same age.
So maybe mid to later 90s.
I don't recall that even happening, which is funny because you figure I wouldn't want to take care of it. I think he'd be freaked out. He gets scared by it. Not anymore. He's obviously an adult now, but he would get scared by everything.
Oh, yeah. No, we totally did that. When the Star Wars movies were re-released, I took my son see all those.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, he couldn't care less.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because, you know, I literally remember.
How old was he when you took him?
He was little. I don't remember when those movies were released.
To be a little, to really understand.
I was little. I literally remember what movie theater I saw Star Wars in,
really?
Who I was with. I remember everything about it. And I was probably. I don't remember when that movie came out. It was maybe 5, 6, 7.
Oh, I think you might have been a little bit older than that because
no,
are you sure? I was a teenager. I was like a high teenager. Like,
no,
we're not
it came
that
out
far
in the late 70s. So
are you sure?
Tops, I would have been 8.
What?
I feel like it came out in 77. I could
Look
be wrong.
Up.
I'm looking it up.
Go to the Google.
But I was a little
kid.
Yeah.
I thought I was older and I'm older than you, but not that
it
much.
Are you sure it wasn't one of the other movies?
It was Star Wars. It was Star Wars that I saw when I was all right. I must have been younger, obviously. If you're right, you know, I for some reason thought I was a teenager.
No, Star Wars is definitely late 70s. Yeah, Wikipedia in 77. I was 6 years old.
Okay, so I was 10. No, 11. Well, 77. Yeah, I was 10, 11. Well, that's weird.
Yeah,
I really thought I was older.
I went with my brother and my cousin. So my brother's 4 years older than me. So he would have been, around
That's
10.
Weird.
And we walked across Queens Boulevard.
Oh, my God.
My brother was the oldest, then my two cousins, then me.
Wow.
And it was just the four of us.
Wow. Times have changed.
We went to the Midway in Forest Hills. We crossed Queens Boulevard.
Wow.
And because I was like, this is amazing. Even at that age, I was like, this is the shit. This is for me.
Yeah, I didn't love it.
I loved them, the Wizard of Oz. I loved that
Luke
movie.
Skywalker. Like, I liked him. I don't think the Ewoks were in the first one. Were they?
They're in the third one.
Yeah, I like them. But I mean,
that's where things kind of go sideways.
The story's okay, but I mean, it's fine. But
I love, and that's probably what I love about The Wizard of Oz. Well, I also love the friendship angle, but
like all the characters, the way they.
Yeah, I just like the way they're kind of like, we're best friends. Hmm. But I like a good story. I like a fun story. That's what I look for. I need that. Like, even when I read, if it's fiction, nonfiction, whatever it is, it has to be.
Okay, in the case of The Wizard of Oz, if you could see the bandage up, I had a colonoscopy today. Very exciting news. What makes the story good about The Wizard of Oz to you?
So many things. The fact that she enters this other world but finds all of the people from her world.
Okay. But did she know they were the people when she found them?
She didn't. No. And until she wakes up, I don't think I knew at first, no. And she just has this adventure and the witch is trying to get her. And I mean, if you really think about it, it's kind of silly.
But at the end, so if she sees them, obviously it was just a dream. So that kind of negates the whole thing to me.
Yeah, but I kind of like it because,
only a dream at the end. I hate that about things.
For me, I have always been a very lucid dreamer. I still am.
Okay.
I remember dreams that I had as a kid.
Wow, that's really amazing.
Because I have very technicolor crazy dreams.
Amazing.
I've
had that only when I took melatonin and it made me nuts. I don't want those dreams.
Was like, don't, you know, Chantix, when I quit smoking, they're like, it gives you crazy dreams. I'm like, I already have insane dreams.
I'm glad I don't
have that. A dream the other night.
I hate that.
Which is apparently an anxiety dream. I didn't know this because I looked it up. I had a dream that all of my front teeth fell out and I was bloody. Oh. Yeah, but it didn't. I wasn't freaked out in the dream.
Interesting. Huh.
Yeah, but like really bloody and blah, blah, blah. Wow. And they fell out one by one.
Wow.
Yeah. So I looked up. It's like anxiety and blah, blah, blah.
I believe that.
But
that's interesting to analyze dreams. I like that.
I do when it's something like really crazy like that. But yeah, I have. So for me, it's like, you know, when you see something that happens to you and you see if like somebody else says it or does it and you're like, it's not just me.
Right.
You know, so it's like for me, that movie was so, you know.
Because she has this
very vivid dream.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm like, I could see that. And I love that she is. I just love the adventure of it. I mean, they also cram it into a very short.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens really fast. Right. Everything happens really fast.
They do. Yeah.
But yeah. And it's a little scary. It's a little fun. I mean, there's a little of everything in it.
Well, yeah. I'm surprised I liked it at all.
Oh, yeah.
It's not for me, that kind of stuff.
It's fun. It just kind of goes all over the place.
She wants to go home so badly. That's the thing. That's the thing that always stuck with me.
See?
Will she get home?
Oh, that's the part. I was like, I wouldn't even go home. I'm like, why would you ever leave Oz?
Scariest place to live.
Oh, but it's so crazy.
No, I would. Would you want to live?
But the witch is dead at the end. Like,
you mean when she's, you're saying.
When she finally figures out how to go home.
To stay in Oz.
And it's also, I mean, one of the points of the movie is it's, you know, you have to believe in yourself that it's always in you.
Right. That's right. You know. I like that too.
Yeah, I like.
That's important. I think very important. The power is in you all along.
By the way,
we got to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will say that. To me, it was always the search for home. I always thought that was universal.
One little tidbit.
Yes, ma'am.
So you know the song that the soldiers sing, the "Oh, we owe."
Yeah.
It's actually "All We Owe, We Owe Her."
Whoa, that's intense.
Yeah, Metallica does it at the beginning of a song. I feel like I knew that before. I don't know why. Wow. Yeah, it's "All We Owe, We Owe Her."
Wow, that's a really intense.
I just looked it up to make sure I wasn't crazy. But
wow, oh my God.
Cool, right?
Yeah, that's like freaky.
Yeah.
I wanted to say that I had two things. I mean, a lot of things are improbable. But number one, why did her aunt allow Toto to be taken by that woman?
I don't know. I mean,
who was that woman to take the dog?
Because, you know, sometimes there's an intimidating person and you think they have all the power.
That's just awful. Okay. And then
and the Dorothy other doesn't give a fuck.
Well, she wanted her dog back.
That's right.
Yeah. And then the other thing was the Wicked Witch. She knows that she can die from melting. Why does she have a bucket of water nearby?
Because it fits the story.
No, no, I can't. That's ridiculous. That's actually in my book. They're watching The Wizard of Oz, and Dorothy says that to her parents. Her parents are shrinks, too. She's like, don't you, as shrinks, don't you?
That's silly.
Yeah, so I do bring that up. But you did say that in Wicked, the guy has
I was
an
just going to say, yeah. A Wicked changes things.
Oh, they sure do. They make Dorothy like the villain, in a way.
Yeah, but that was the book. Like yeah, that. Dorothy was a pain in the ass in the book Wicked.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's all about you have sympathy for the witch.
Oh, I know. I mean, it was, and I liked, I saw the Broadway show. I didn't see the movie, but I did like that. However, I don't like Dorothy being besmirched. I don't think I did.
But she's kind of whiny. I mean, even in The Wizard of Oz, she's kind of whiny.
To freaking kill her, okay? She was going to kill her. That's an intense thing, especially if children are seeing it. She turns the sand carrot thing and she says, you're going to die.
I know, but Dorothy just crushes her sister and gets those shoes.
Dorothy didn't want to kill the sister. She didn't
I understand, but she didn't need to take those shoes.
She was told to take the shoes by the good fairy. She was pushed into it.
Glinda was kind of a dick because Glinda is the one who caused all the problems.
So it's her fault. It's not Dorothy's fault.
Yeah, but she wanted those shoes. Those were her sister's shoes. She should have just given it to her.
Why didn't she? You know, Glinda could have just said, the power is in you, go home. You know what I mean? Like she didn't...
Glinda was kind of a bitch.
Right, I can but accept
listen,
that.
Once Dorothy knew that this was a problem, she should have given her the shoes.
But Glinda didn't even get made look bad in Wicked. She was her friend. It's Dorothy that got made look bad.
Yeah.
That's
well,
ridiculous.
I mean, honestly, someone should write it about her because she's the problem. I mean, so if it was your sister's shoes and someone just walked off with them after she accidentally killed her,
I would not. I would never kill anybody for shoes.
Or damn sure.
No, she was off the charts. Okay. And it's easy
she's
to,
a wicked
it's
witch,
easy to make her sympathetic. I feel like there's a lot of cheating in Wicked. Like to
there
get to
is.
That. And I don't like
yes.
that.
And they changed
like
different things. Like they changed the scarecrow, that story, which annoyed me.
Yeah.
Because the witch is supposed to love the scarecrow. But in The Wizard of Oz, she tries to set the scarecrow on fire and kill him.
Right.
So
exactly.
That doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
There's a lot of things about Wicked that didn't
make sense. So I don't like cheating. The Dirty Bird thing, like what's the name? Remember in that, what's that Stephen
Misery.
King? Misery. When he tries to take a shortcut, she's like, Dirty Bird, you're a cheater. Yeah. When you're writing, you can reinvent something, but you have to follow the rules of what was in the original story. So.
Yeah. By the way, Kathy Bates, amazing.
She is very good. All right. We do have to go, but quickly. I was going to read, I'm going to just read you the original quote because in my novel, Melk section starts with a quote from The Wizard of Oz that kind of sets up stuff in the story. Oh, the part three starts with that quote I was telling you about Oz. The four travelers walked up to the great gate of Emerald City and rang the bell. After ringing several times, it was opened by the same guardian of the gates they had met before. What? Are you back again? He asked in surprise. Do you not see us? Asked the Scarecrow. But I thought you had gone to visit the Wicked Witch of the West. We did visit her, said the Scarecrow. And she let you go again? Asked the man in wonder. She could not help it, for she is melted, explained the Scarecrow. So that hit me a certain way, and there you go.
I like it.
Thank you.
Is that it?
That's the whole quote.
Oh, no, I meant that's the only quote, yeah?
Yeah, because we're in a hurry.
Okay. So I'm going very Judy Garland.
All right.
Okay, so she had this to say about The Wizard of Oz. I've always taken The Wizard of Oz very seriously, you know. I believe in the idea of the rainbow, and I've spent my entire life trying to get over it. If you don't know the Judy Garland story, go look it up. It is sad, sad, sad. And also, I don't know if you could still find them, but she made these tapes, and she is at the end of her rope. In these tapes.
Didn't Howard play some of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, she's lost her shit. By the way, I don't know the exact quote, but it's probably my favorite thing anybody has ever said because it's so douchey. She said she didn't like plane travel because she said, I've never met a cast of characters that I wanted to die with. Like, that's what she compared the other passengers.
Oh, my God. That's interesting.
It's so funny.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very funny. All right. I do want to share one more thing. I'm sorry, but I realize.
Do it.
Okay. So in the very beginning, there's an opening before the main part, and it's called No Place Like Home, in which the boy talks about when his father comes home, what happens. And I told you part of it. And by the way, his part is written in broken words. I call it anti-poetry, actually. And the girl character, Dorothy, is written in standard prose. So it has another quote from Wizard of Oz, and it says, "What shall we do?" asked the Tin Woodsman. Sorry. "What shall we do?" asked the Tin Woodman. "If we leave her here, she will die," said the lion. And so that's the quote I used to open the part about him explaining what happens to his mom when his father comes home, what he's thinking. But it's the poppy thing. You know, it's the poppy thing. So it's amazing how every time I opened The Wizard of Oz, the wonderful Wizard of Oz, to find quotes, they were just there. I was right at the spot where I wanted. So it was all very
meant to
synchronistic. So I think maybe we'll explore those Luft tapes. They sound kind of interesting.
Good Lord. I could listen to them all day. I know that's terrible, but...
So you like the breakdown of a human being?
Because I think everybody can relate to... I mean, like, she had clearly come to that point.
Right.
You know, when you get there and all bets are off,
yeah,
that you have lost your
shit. It reminds
shit.
Me of Sharon Stone in Casino. Yes. When she loses her shit,
yeah,
all over the place. And like no one can understand, but it's not about that moment. It's about that's the point.
Yes.
When you've lost your frigging mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is totally. Clearly where this woman was at.
Maybe we should do an episode on losing your mind, getting to that, the point, the interesting part about getting to that point and what happens. Yes. And everybody thinks you're just frigging lunatic.
Well, as I was telling you, and I'm not going to get into it, obviously, but something happened the other day and it was so small. But it was like last straw.
Right.
And I went berserk. I was so mad. Like, you know, when you say really mean shit because you're so mad, like things you would never say to another human being. And I was like, afterwards, I'm like, ew. I was like, wow, that was nasty. Thank God I didn't say it to the person I was mad at.
That's funny.
Because I was like, what?
Who did you say it to then, if not the person you were mad at?
Somebody else.
That's
and
funny.
I was like, oh, this poor person had to hear my crazy.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
But they were like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
They were like, and I knew what you meant. Because there was one specific thing I said. I was like, wow, I can't believe I said.
Oh, my God. That's
I was like, it was almost funny. It was so obnoxious. Right.
Well, that is interesting that you did not let loose on the person, though.
No, I've learned not to do that because sometimes you say, when I get that angry, I say crazy things.
Yeah.
Just, I go all the way out.
And it really is devastation.
And it's weird and stupid. I get really weird with it.
I think maybe it's like, and I understand this too, because you're just like containing so much for so long and then all of a sudden you just explode.
It's like one time I feel so bad. It was so funny. My son did something that it made me so mad and I was yelling at him on the phone.
Okay.
But I don't know. I go off like to a weird place with stuff.
Wow.
I think I started talking about Scooby-Doo. I don't know what happened.
That's odd.
Something about the mystery machine. And
He
put me on speaker and him and his friends laughed their
ass
off.
Oh my God.
And I have to tell you, when I stopped and thought about it at the end of the conversation, I'm like, yeah, I would have laughed too because it was ridiculous.
That is an odd thing to bring up in the middle of screaming at somebody. I'm not going to lie.
Because my head goes to weird places.
That's fascinating.
Because it was an argument about a car. I don't know how I got to the mystery machine. But
that is very funny.
Yeah. I was like, are you guys laughing? And I'm like,
that really diffused the whole situation.
It did because I wasn't mad after that.
I hope not. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I realized
it could have gone horribly wrong
because
you could have been so infuriated that he put you on speaker.
I think for 5 seconds I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, you know, I would have put me on speaker too.
That's really funny. All right. Well, that's a great way to end. The funny.
I'm nuts.
I like the idea of talking about that breaking
point. Oh my God. I just looked at myself and I looked just like my father. That was so weird.
Really?
I look very much like my father, but I made an expression that
interesting.
Or made.
Oh, where's Freud? Let's go. I keep talking about Freud, this second episode. All right. So anyway, thank you so much and au revoir.
Lovely to see you all.
Oh, that's right. Goodbye.